Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Here we go. Guys are signed. There's no holdouts. We know what the roster looks like.
No jerk is on the physically unable to perform list yet.
We didn't have people get arrested. Think about it. We got here to... No, I'm not kidding.
It's true.
That's a big deal for an NFL team that we got here without anybody getting arrested for doing something stupid.
I'm proud of you. You know that. I hope you do.
2 years ago, didn't Poles fire the person in charge of the player relations
Lamar
or whatever
Campbell.
It was?
Mark Campbell? No, I don't think that was it.
Soup Campbell, right?
Lamar Campbell.
Lamar Campbell, not
Mark
Campbell.
I thought
Mark
you
Campbell.
Said Mark,
no,
Mark
I said
Campbell.
Lamar.
And now to push this convention into hyperspace, the man who put the star in Star Wars, a real burr on the Darth Vader saddle, Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill.
Mark
well,
Hamill.
Well, there's
he
your problem
fired
right there.
Luke Skywalker
there's,
from Star Wars.
He fired Luke Skywalker.
The Luke Skywalker from Star Wars.
That it was the wrong Luke that got fired. It was supposed to be Getzy.
That's on me.
I thought it was supposed to be Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
Coming to you live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville, it's Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Sound, I think, pretty good. We broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are right here atop the Budweiser Brick House Tavern. And we are here thanks to Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. We are right next to Wrigley Field and looking forward to a lovely morning and afternoon of broadcasting. So thanks for having us here. And I mentioned before, we have a couple open slots if you want to come join us. I have been told by the powers that be the way to reserve those spots. You have to reserve your spot. We've got five of them. So if you want to call in and give your name and give your football information, we can get you in the building, 312-540-0670. The first five people to call that number and register are free to come hang out and gorge themselves on all the fabulous food that we will be enjoying.
Did you say give yourself or give them some football information?
That goes back to, I'm trying to remember, was that the Trestman regime?
Yes. Got his football information.
Get their football information and get them upstairs.
Get their football information.
Yes. We were curious about what it means to get one's football information, but whatever it is, we want it from you. 312-644-6767 is our number. A lot of people to point out today. We have Rich Wyatt, Tito, our man, who is leading the engineering effort, all of the Score promotion staff that has been in charge of setting this up. We appreciate their hard work. Ray Diaz, our executive producer. Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell is here, which means Kevin Lapka is probably back at the Score studios, I would imagine, doing those things.
Peter Hansom.
Yes, there he is. Hello, he's back with us. He slept. He's not tired anymore.
Yeah, he gets to hang out with us. Gets to sleep in a little bit, but just a little bit. Oh, by the way, and I'll leave all this stuff about Dallas for another time because I know we have other stuff to do, but I did want to say that I thought about everyone and the show as I'm walking through Radio Row at SEC Media Days.
Oh, no. This is when we feel horrible about ourselves.
There were three different stations called the Sports Animal.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Like I knew one.
Wait, called,
I know
called,
of one
wait,
in Oklahoma.
Wait, all called the Sports Animal, or each was a different animal?
No.
Was it like the Sports Alpaca?
They were, no.
The Sports Vicuña.
Every one of them was called the Sports Animal.
The Sports Python.
Right. And I was like, oh, wait, there's the Sports. Oh, and there's the Sports Animal. And
the Bucket.
And the Sports Animal's over there.
I have to confess that I used to love listening to the Sports Animal Oklahoma pregame show.
Okay.
Because it was, it was Al Erschbeck, and it was Traber, the dude who used to play for Baltimore. Jim Traber. And
sounds like a name.
Yeah, and Dean Blevins. And they all just used to yell at each other for an hour and a half about OU football.
That sounds about right for a pregame show.
But it was also cool because two of those people were not from Oklahoma. So it was just like a very intense OU football conversation that also had like some varied voices to it. I did love the sports animal.
I'll have more like football-y stuff later on in the
three
week.
Three different sports animals.
I'm like, oh, look at that.
We're the rightful heir to the sports animal name.
Damn right.
Yeah, Jim Traber from the sports animal. And I loved that station.
Just the absurdity of that.
It was pretty great, man.
What? Like, wait a second, which one of you is the rightful
Someone
sports
has
animal?
To fight for yes, to be the sports be animal. One.
What happens if like you get Highlander. Asked to be like do an appearance on the sports animal? Are you like, oh, is that the Oklahoma City sports animal, or is that the Southern Alabama sports animal? Which sports animal is it?
I just think there should also be a sports vegetable and a sports mineral.
Yeah.
Right? 106.1, the sports vegetable.
The best part of this is nobody is laughing at Brickhouse.
I don't.
They don't get it. It's inside and it's
before.
It's inside and that's okay for it to be inside. But
this episode of Bernstein and Holmes is filmed in front of a live studio audience. We forgot the signs to tell them when to laugh.
No, hopefully they'll find something funny that we do today, or entertaining, or informational, or whatever.
The good news is the food is very good.
Yes.
And
always trust a family that lets their 12-year-old drink coffee.
Are you really drinking coffee, 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Are you 12?
Yeah.
You are 12. Nicely done, okay. Dan.
Well done.
That's a level of intensity I support.
I like that because it started in our house when Jason was 8 because he wanted to be a big boy and wanted to have a coffee. So it started with like milk, and we'd pour a little tiny bit of coffee in there. And then over time, the ratio of milk to coffee just kept increasing. When we'd be driving to like a morning baseball game or a hockey game, it's like, I need coffee.
Coffee.
But you're 10.
I know.
So don't worry about it. Everything. Anybody.
He's
got
to go
bad,
to work later. That's why he's drinking his coffee.
Yeah, seriously, he's going to work in the mines later, I think.
Not with that hair.
Nah, true.
It's good hair. Good baseball hair.
Yeah, definitely.
Do I need to kill the vibe or establish the vibe?
Both.
Because I had some sports thoughts on while I was perusing sports animals over the weekend.
You mean like the Cubs being on their BS that they were on before the All-Star break?
Instead of being mad about it, I want to be motivational about it.
Okay. How so?
All right. People in charge whose offices are above our heads right now. You guys say you want to win the division and compete in the division, huh?
Well, here's a real chance tonight.
You got 3 games at home to show us how much you actually want to win the division. I won't even talk to you about the other divisions in baseball. I'm going to pretend like they're not there. All right. Those are your words. Tell me what you want to do with this next 3 games.
Win them all.
That would be the goal.
Win all of them.
You kind of have to.
I will say that I appreciated the win against the Diamondbacks yesterday. Salvage that sweep. At least let your stopper who was on the mound go up against Brandon Fott, who I knew was going to be as advertised based on the run he's been on lately and what he's been able to do against the Cubs. They actually got extra base hits when they needed them to lead off an inning and give themselves the most opportunities to try to tie the game and then therefore won it. So, yeah, let's go. You want the division? Okay, let's start with the division. You took 2 of 4 from your last divisional opponent. I would like to see you take 2 of 3. That would be a win percentage of .666 or so against this team for this series, and that would be a good start.
But the crazy thing is, as much as we talk about baseball as marathon and how there should be an appreciation for teams that win divisions, we're at sprint point now.
Oh, yeah.
We're at 60 games now. And it feels like the Cubs have kind of frittered away the first 3 months of the season and are now going to have to do some Herculean type stuff if they actually want to be considered. The shame of it, like, and as you're watching this weekend,
the starting pitching
is so good. Like, it's like watching Shota, and now I think we have enough of a sample size of Shota to go, this guy's really good. That this isn't just wait until the league gets a look at him. The league's got to look at him, and he's adjusted really well to it. They have squandered. When you have a weekend where you score three total runs, you have squandered really good pitching because you only gave up, what, nine total in the weekend to another team that has playoff aspirations. It's so frustrating to watch Cubs games and know that whether it's Steele, and not the last time, but whether it's Steele or Shota or Tyone, and even Hendricks, you know, before his last time, that you're going to get good starting pitching. And then to not have it mean anything because this team struggles to hit the ball and hit with runners in scoring position. By the way, Joe Girardi's stealing my bit, my Christopher Morel bit yesterday.
About walk rate.
Yeah.
And say that the numbers suggest his overall should be better.
And I think it's because we had him on the show. I think when I asked him that, he was like, I'm going to steal that bit and take it on TV.
Sometimes they tell you. I remember Boomer Esiason telling me. I made some observation about it. And he just said, oh, I'm going to steal that.
I'm totally okay with that.
And I said, of course. I said, there's no, you hear something and you incorporate it into, I said, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm happy that I am on the same wavelength with Joe Girardi on this. It's just strange. And you have the idea of whether or not Christopher Morel should shorten up in some of those two strike situations, which, by the way, yesterday in the press conference, I think that might have been a better way to ask that question. Right, Jesse?
Earlier in the game, just like the at-bats, thinking like the seventh inning with Morel, there's a tying run at second. He's looked like he was swinging for the lake there. I don't know. What do you think about some of those?
Come on, Jesse. Come on. That's your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about...
I think that's a bad take.
Why?
That's a bad take. He's swinging for the lake? That's a bad take. It's a bad take.
Why is that a bad
He's take? Having a good at-bat trying to hit the ball hard. It didn't work. The pitcher made a good pitch. He made an out.
Okay.
Hmm. All right, well, he does swing really hard all the time. And so they're both right.
Yes. I know that there are people who are frustrated that he doesn't take a B-hack in two strikes, but it's kind of his thing. Like, that's the reason that Christopher Morel is there is not to, you know, poke one in the right field. If he does that occasionally, I'm happy. He's there to hit the ball to the lake. Like, that's like his whole thing that he does.
Good. I wish more guys would hit the ball to the lake.
He's Mr. Slug. But if you're Craig Counsell, are you a little frustrated?
Mr. Slug. Sorry.
I think that was an exchange between two people who talk a lot and know each other. That's not an exchange you have if you don't know that person or don't talk to them a lot. I'll say that much. But when it comes to Christopher Morel, we have talked about the need for him to have an alternate hack, B-hack, whatever you want to call it, something that gives you a different approach at the plate. I would argue that that's not just him on this team where that would be useful. I would say that what we saw out of Cody Bellinger last year talking about that very concept was also something that had success. So I don't mind that discussion, but there is a way to ask it that probably doesn't elicit that response. It deserved a discussion, though.
And Belly has talked about that if you are trying for Slug, these are the types of results that you're going to get. That he can play pepper. If you want him to play pepper, he can do it. But if you want Slug, that means he's going to take some risks with pitches that are in or around the strike zone.
We've had a bunch of spots to join us here at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern that have been taken. Where do we have two? We have two more. If you want to come by, call now, 312-540-0670. Those last two are available, and then we will be full up. We have a full show for you that includes Mark Grody's latest on the Bears when he joins us next on the
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The score.
Bears.
Mark Grody covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark Grody with Bernstein and Holmes.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
camp is underway at Halas Hall. Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight from 6 to 6:30 right here on The Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Our 670 The Score Bears reporter, Mark Grody, who is now on Twitter at Grody Sports. So lock that in, write it down, and make sure you have the new handle. He is with us live from the Bears practice field now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Hello, Mark.
Hello, guys. We are at the early portion of day number three of Bears training camp at the in the near fields, fields one and two, which is closest to Halas Hall. They had practiced the first couple days on the far fields. One thing that I was just noticing in the early going, they haven't done any kind of 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. It's just all individual position groups working out. And I was just like, we're starting to wonder about kick returns and punt returns and who's actually going to have those duties. And let's see, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that were returning punts from the machine and Torrey Taylor today. They are Roma Dunze, Tyler Scott, Greg Stroman, Valus Jones Jr., and Dante Pettis. And I imagine there'll be even more added to that pack. So that's the one discernible thing that I have noticed so far today in the early goings.
It's interesting because I kind of figured that Valus would make the roster specifically because of the new kickoff rules and how good of a kickoff returner he was. If he can add punt returner back to his resume, that would be great. But, you know, he has that whole problem with catching the ball, which makes it difficult to return punts.
Yeah, he Lawrence, he feels that. Like, for whatever it is, you know, it certainly feels like a mental thing when he feels the pressure, the footsteps, the anticipation, whatever it may be, from the very beginning of his tenure here with the Bears. And honestly, I just don't think they can ever go back to that. I mean, they stopped doing it, and they gave him so many opportunities to be the punt returner and to take on that job. And Lord knows that Ryan Poles wanted him to do that because he was his third-round pick, his early on, his most prominent offensive draft pick, and he has, you know, virtually done nothing here with the Bears other than, as Lawrence said, some good kickoff returns. So my answer to that is don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, this is a year in which this is a year in which you are, if you are the Bears, you are, there is an expectation that we all know about that exists with this Bears team that did not exist in the first 2 years. All experimentation is over. In a lot of cases, the tryouts are over. There's still some competition, but a lot of that stuff has obviously changed here in this era of the Bears being at least on the rise.
Maybe I am being too serious about this, but when I hear Ryan Poles sit with Matt Eberflus on Friday and talk all about
Dan
how...
Lawrence and Layla, yeah. Sorry, the guys from the Sun-Times were wondering who I was talking to. So
hi, Sun-Times.
I guess Patrick Finley says... Yeah, Finley says hello. Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, Layla. You're trying to be serious, and I'm messing you up here. I'm sorry. Go on.
No. It's appropriate. But Ryan Poles is all talking about how it's going to be hard to make camp, and this is a competitive team, and this is a totally different roster than what he was dealing with the past couple of years. And yet, somebody who's on the team who is a known liability, albeit a Ryan Poles third-round pick, is still on the team. So I'm having a little trouble trying to make those statements go together.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Valus Jones is on the bubble. You know, I mean, he did. And by the way, I'm walking to the to field two right now as I'm discussing. So I'm right by the speaker. So it's getting a little loud here. But, no, Layla, I think it's very – I mean – he's on the bubble, I would say Valus Jones is, and for that exact reason, that it's, you know, play time is over. We're not, there's no, nobody's going to go out of their way now to look at Valus Jones and say, we've got to develop this guy at all costs. And you're right. To see him in the punt return line felt like, just, all right, let's throw him in there. We're going to get as many guys out here to potentially do it. And I think in the end, he may be returning kicks this year. I mean, that's what he would do if he makes the roster. But yeah, they're going to take a long look at that, and there might be some tough decisions.
I appreciate you fighting through that despite the traveling fun background music and all of the distractions. But to me, it's just as simple as Poll says this. We heard Blues talk all about hidden yardage and how that was important to them. They draft a punter. You have this person still on special teams. How many chances?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you're right. You're actually comporting yourself seriously about the special teams side of the ball, and obviously having taken Torrey Taylor where you took him, and with new special teams rules, I don't know if that would benefit Velus Jones Jr. in any way, shape, or form, but it might. But, you know, everything needs a long look in this camp, unlike others.
I'm picturing you in like a left-right scrolling video game right now. There's a little Mark Grody figure who you're navigating, and first he has to get around the speakers that are blaring the hip-hop, and then there's lawnmowers that apparently are coming after him that you have to time your jump just right to make sure you jump over the lawnmowers.
He's got
to
throw stars like Shinobi and Finley and...
I can't like Pitfall, for example. You know, I'm trying to just one of the or Jungle King.
He's got to do all that stuff. Groats, is it fair to call what's happening at center a positional battle, or is it, like, how would you describe it?
I guess it is. You know, I asked the question yesterday. I the first day of practice, we had Ryan Bates out there. Coleman Shelton, the lefty, was the center for the Bears yesterday, and I asked Shane Waldron. I said, is this a competition? And I think really the focus of my question actually was, does Caleb Williams have any say in this? Like, does he get a choice? Does he get to say, yeah, I feel more comfortable with this guy? Shane Waldron, paraphrasing, basically said no. he's got enough, that Caleb Williams has enough to worry about. He's got enough on his plate. You know, let us essentially, again, paraphrasing, let us worry about the center position. But I keep wondering if, you know, what some of the concrete things that they have said to us about that is, I think that Matt Eberflus was saying, we want him, Caleb, to be comfortable with both centers because guys get injured. And obviously center has been a really big problem in the Ryan Poles era. I mean, that's the one spot where Ryan Poles deserves a little criticism. Lucas Patrick was a bad signing. The idea of Cody Whitehair playing center was a bad idea. Having at least two guys in here that are different than what we've seen in the past, even going back to Sam Mustipher, is a really nice thing. And it appears, look, guys, I mean, they keep saying it's a competition, and it is being comported that way because we have seen, even going back to the OTAs, while there was more Ryan Bates, like, I still think he has the edge, they've been giving Coleman Shelton a long look, and it'll be interesting today. I haven't been able to discern yet as they're just doing, I'm looking at Caleb Williams right now. He's in the middle of the field with Tyson Bajan. They're just doing some handoff work with the coaches right now, so it's really hard to tell. And the offensive linemen right now are all the way over by the training facility, and they are just going through their individual stuff right now as well. But I can't wait to see who they have out there today. And if could there actually be two in a row from Coleman Shelton? That'll be interesting to see.
Mark, where do you see, I presume when Hard Knocks films, they generally have several boom mic operators where it'll look like a guy with a stick and there's like an otter on the end of the stick that is being held up above a group of people talking. Are you seeing that?
Ton of it, Dan. Yep. I haven't seen it yet. Today? I mean, as you say that, I'm looking on field two, and the big boom mic is in a defensive backs gathering. I always wonder, too, like, because do guys freeze up when they see the boom mic? Because, it is interruptive. I mean, the guy, like you said, Dan, it's like a, 15-foot pole with a big fuzzy mic on the end, and he's holding it right now. As a matter of fact, all the DBs are huddling up right now as that big fuzzy mic is in the meeting right now. But, yeah, they, from day one of camp, because we all been wondering about this, how intrusive are they going to be? How much in effect are they? Is it kind of camouflage? And it's not. I mean, they're very present out here. I haven't done my count yet, but I think the first day of camp, when they first came, there was at least 12 extra cameras. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot of cameras and boom mics that are trying to jump in all these meetings. And that's the most obvious thing is those boom mics trying to get the sound and the cameras. I mean, they get right at, when they're doing 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, they are right in the mix. It's like they're kind of like, imagine the referees. You know, they're kind of jockeying for position. And, you know, obviously they're off the field or out of the way when they go to make plays. But did they just turn that music up because of me? What's going on over here?
I feel like maybe you walked back over there.
Hold on, I have to move now so I can actually hear you guys.
Isn't that future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are getting the full effect here today, I got to tell you.
Grody, you're not going to Lala, right? And Future is one of the headliners, so I feel like you're getting your Grody Palooza right now.
I'm sorry, Layla, I'm getting my what right now?
Grody Palooza. This is going great.
Well, we actually, now that I think about it, we got to be careful about the lyrics.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Because George makes sure that that's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. They,
okay.
They,
all right.
I didn't know that we get the radio edits.
Yeah, you get a lot of radio edits. So.
Good. Okay, because that was my first worry was, uh-oh.
If we're talking about the music, one thing I have noticed something. This is the third day, again, of training camp. And even different from OTAs and even different from the last couple of years, usually there's like a classic mixtape that is played, like with a lot of classic hip-hop and stuff like that, and 90s stuff, or even some like classic rock music. It's all been modern. So my guess is that the players have been given a little bit more say in the music, because sometimes I'm like, that's got to be a coach playing that tape, you know. But in this case,
yeah, if we hear Pearl Jam at the Bears practice, we know it's either you or Eberflus who picked it out.
yeah. I would not do that to these players unless I learned that a lot of them like Pearl Jam. It doesn't. Yeah, no, I think it's right. The players should. And any other sport that I've covered, man, when I covered the Cubs, you know, you had, remember Edwin Jackson back in the day? He was running that music, so it should be a player running the music.
Groats, I know that this was something that the Bears and Caleb Williams were talking about at the end of OTAs, was the idea of him getting plays in and getting out and his cadence and all of that. So far from what I read, what Shane Waldron says, they're pretty pleased with the work he did in between, correct?
Yes. Yep. I'd say first 2 days of training camp, I think there were one day each, and I don't think it had anything to do with the cadence necessarily. Maybe one was the cadence, but there's been two, I would just call them hiccups on the offense, whether they were considered false starts or a cadence issue, which I don't have clarified exactly. But yeah, so far, you know, relative to what we saw in the OTAs, where at times it was not good for Caleb Williams, and you know, we saw Tevin Jenkins up there during OTAs explaining what they would prefer to hear, how what they are hearing from Caleb Williams. And it, like I said, it looks like that part is, there's going to be mistakes still, and it can't be flawless yet, but so far it is definitely better.
Groats, you're the man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Featuring talk future. To you soon. Bears.
Away he dances. Bears. Mark Grody, our Bears reporter. When we come back, we have to talk about clowns in the stands.
Oh.
It's perfect.
And
it's not the most perfect clown soundbite we have.
No, it's not.
We do have another one that I hope that Studs finds between now and the next segment, because that's the one you want.
Well, it's not a metaphor. This actual clown.
There it is.
Bring it home. Bring it home, Studs. That's next on the Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. Let's get back to Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahimi, live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve.
that's where we are, the Budweiser Brick House Tavern, and we are happy to be surrounded by our contest winners who are trickling in. I think they are preparing our lavish feast for our lunchtime.
I think it's already done. I saw a basket of chicken strips already.
I think they ordered those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're really good, though, right? Yeah, that's what we were trying to see.
Yeah, right.
We're fans.
I told you.
All three of us are fans of the chicken strips here. So if you're coming to Brick House, that's what you should get along
that
with everything else.
That 12-year-old drinking coffee really has his act together.
Yeah. I think maybe we should all be more like him. I think that's the move.
Good job.
We're going to be joined by Ian Happ for three segments starting at noon. He's going to come by, tell us everything that's going on in his world.
Yeah, we got some Happ fans
lots of Ian Happ fans.
Coffee drinkers? That makes sense, right?
See? It all fits.
Now
we understand. That's why the coffee is probably Connect Roasters.
That's why you're not at the sports animal.
and Curtis Granderson is going to join us a little bit later on as well. So how do you explain this? It looked like about the third row of the bleachers in the Cubs game on Saturday, there was a clown.
Because he lost his fantasy football league. So he had to dress up like a clown.
Full blown. The wig.
Makeup.
Full makeup.
Yeah.
Clown suit, like the John Wayne Gacy special. And
I don't know if we want to. There are other clowns you can choose.
What do you want? Pagliacci?
Either way.
And so he was wearing a sign on the front that said, "I suck at fantasy football."
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That broadcast was delightful.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Benetti and AJ.
I know.
It was delightful.
I know. It made me like AJ Pierzynski, which kind of bothers me.
AJ's awesome.
He's successfully transitioned to being one of us.
I know he is. He's such an anti-hero, though.
It's still the greatest marketing campaign of all time. Punch AJ for the All-Star game.
Yes.
It's just genius. Like, because right
everybody wants to.
Yeah, it was right after it happened. It was perfect. But he's turned himself into a fantastic broadcaster, and we all know how we feel about Jason Benetti. And the thing is that what I like about AJ is that AJ is understated and quick, and it works well with Benetti because of the same thing. But seeing them act and react to seeing the clown was pretty awesome, and we wanted to share it with you in case you missed it.
You know, the one thing you're thinking if you do lose your fantasy football bet and you have to dress like that is, well, at least nobody else will see me except for everybody next to me in the crowd in the bleachers.
Can't hide when you dress like that, and if you suck that bad, you deserve it. I said, though, they're letting them drink beer. Should have made them be sober.
Yeah, I don't know which is worse. This is a city well known for famous clowns, right? Like Bozo's Circus was enormous back in the, a couple decades ago in the 90s and 80s and before that. And he'd have sidekicks, Wizzo and Cookie, and this guy maybe is the lost Bozo's Circus clown.
The fact that you know that much about Bozo. The only thing I remember about Bozo was the game where he had to throw the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, the grand prize game. As a kid who grew up in this city, AJ, there was a wait list to get into the crowd at Bozo's Circus.
Did you ever get to do the grand prize? I could see you being big in the grand prize game.
Yeah, my motor skills are my finest attribute. Check swing, he didn't go.
But I could see you leaning over and kind of cheating a little bit.
And they wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said anything.
They would have been like, oh, good job. Good job, Jason. Here's some Archway cookies. 2-2. On the ground, third base side. That's Morrell playing shortstop, essentially. And there's one away. But back to that guy, right? That is a bad day.
Yes. But it's also fun.
Yeah.
Because as bad as it stinks that you have to do that, he's getting TV time, and he's going to tell everybody, hey, I met all these new friends.
Oh, they're just finding out that this has gone a little further than their one section in their fantasy football draft. Is he happy about it is the question. His face is painted to suggest he's happy about it, but we don't know if he's actually happy. Remember Bryce Harper a couple years ago? Somebody asked him something. He said, "That's a clown question, bro."
Yes.
I wonder if this guy said that. Like, are you going to finish last in the league?
What we really need is somebody to tweet at Jason Benetti or myself that guy's name.
Well, I don't know. I want to get involved in that. Distance is fine, thanks.
What's the worst fantasy football punishment you've seen?
I mean, so the one I'm thinking of is the Giants a couple years ago, play-by-play announcer Dave Fleming, because he lost his fantasy league, was the bat boy for the Giants for a couple innings while John Miller did the game on radio. You remember, did you see the footage of that?
Some spring training, the Blue Jays did that to one of their pitchers this year, too. Same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the one where you have to go to a restaurant and sit there for 24 hours, depending on how much you eat.
Yeah, like only eat mozzarella sticks for 24 hours, right?
Well, there's one you go to IHOP and you get, or Waffle House, and every waffle you lose an hour.
Yeah.
So you have to try to eat as many waffles as you McDonald's, if you eat how many hamburgers you eat.
You're just trying to get an NIL deal, I feel like, at this point. 3-1 to Ketel Marte. Great day to dress up however you'd like here at Wrigley Field.
I agree. That's courtesy of Fox Sports. And it was Jason Benetti and A.J. Pruszynski on the call. I feel like, never mind.
What?
If you were thinking about putting together a booth, and you were saying, like, even, like, locally, that would be pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Be a really interesting idea. If someone only had access to those people and relationships, that would be a really sensible way that you could
do something.
Do something your fans would really enjoy and appreciate.
I also thought it was interesting, too, because of their proximity to Alan Thomas, all of the Alec Thomas stuff that they were able to share inside of the broadcast, and AJ
being in the weight room.
Yeah. AJ being like, who is this kid? And like, now that kid is, you know, patrolling center field and running down fly balls. I know that we asked Ian about this, and I'm going to ask him about it again. I mentioned it in the group chat. Maybe it's me, and maybe I'm looking for it. I am totally okay with people think that I might be looking for this. Wrigley Field feels like it's playing weird. There are balls that are
hit where
I'm like, that one didn't make it to the track. Like, it didn't even make it to the track. And I don't know if it's just the ball or if it's how Wrigley, if the weather is. It just seems strange that there are balls that look pretty well struck that are dying.
Yeah, the wind, they talked about it yesterday, for example. It was blowing in, and you guys know better than I do because I haven't lived here all my life, but I feel like we're talking about the wind blowing in more than we typically have.
It does. Like, the fallacy about Wrigley is that the wind blows in more than it blows out, but usually this time of year.
Not the case.
Yeah. Like, when you're talking about July baseball at Wrigley Field, like, that's when you can go yard.
And we know that the video boards, when we looked at the actual data just a couple of months ago, that the people who actually did the work and drew out all the vectors and overlaid everything said that it's still essentially two different parks.
Okay.
It's a wind blowing in pitcher's park and a wind blowing out hitter's park, but the video boards have significantly mitigated the discrepancy between those two effects.
Hmm.
And that's happened at other parks in baseball where an outside factor, say a video board or some other construction, did adjust the wind pattern specifically.
Not to mention the ball.
Yeah. There's always that. But
I just, like, every time I'm watching games lately, I'm like, wow, that ball seemed like. So I'm like looking at exit velo and everything else, and I'm like, that's messed up because I felt like that was a ball that was going to make. If it was going to die, it would die on the track.
Yesterday, late July, should have been a good example, mid to late July, of a day where that's going out, but not the case yesterday.
I'm just pleased I got through that segment without allowing myself to be triggered about Bozo.
Yeah, we can get to your Bozo stuff another time.
I hate Bozo. I've never liked Bozo. I never liked the show. My parents like, oh, you want to get in the waiting list for tickets? I'm like, no, I don't want to go see that.
What's your beef with Bozo?
I don't know. It's not funny.
So you said you avoided it only to get into it?
No, whenever he wanted to talk.
No, I'm saying like right now. You said you were avoiding talking about it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But then you talked about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got through without getting too worked up about the. I mean, just the worst. Just not funny. Not interesting. Not clever. Not entertaining.
All right.
This is not you getting worked up.
That's enough of you bashing Bozo.
We have to go to break.
Sucked. Bozo sucked.
I'm going to let Dan figure this out for a few minutes.
Bozo.
We asked a bunch of Bears questions last week. We worked some things out as a Bears people last week, but we're not done yet because, Lawrence, you asked a good question.
Yeah, I want to talk about camp coverage. So we'll do that next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. And 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. Let's get back to Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahimi. Live from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. Brought to you by Bosch Power Tools. What hard workers deserve.
That's where we are, the Budweiser Brick House Tavern, and we are happy to be surrounded by our contest winners who are trickling in. I think they are preparing our lavish feast for our lunchtime.
I think it's already done. I saw a basket of chicken strips already.
I think they ordered those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're really good, though, right? Yeah, that's what we were trying to see.
Yeah, right.
We're fans.
I told you.
All three of us are fans of the chicken strips here. So if you're coming to Brick House, that's what you should get along
that
with everything else. That 12-year-old
drinking coffee really has his act together.
Yeah. I think maybe we should all be more like him. I think that's the move.
Good job.
We're going to be joined by Ian Happ for three segments starting at noon. He's going to come by tell us everything that's going on in his world.
Yeah, we got some Happ fans here.
Lots of Ian Happ fans.
Coffee drinkers? That makes sense, right?
See? It all fits.
Now
we understand. That's why the coffee is probably Connect Roasters.
That's why you're not at the sports animal.
and Curtis Granderson is going to join us a little bit later on as well. So how do you explain this? It looked like in the third row of the bleachers in the Cubs game on Saturday, there was a clown.
Because he lost his fantasy football league. So he had to dress up like a clown.
Full blown. The wig.
Makeup.
Full makeup.
Yeah.
Clown suit, like the John Wayne Gacy special. And
I don't know if we want to. There are other clowns you can choose.
The one I joined. What do you
want? Either way.
And so he was wearing a sign on the front that said, "I suck at fantasy football."
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That broadcast was delightful.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Benetti and AJ.
I know.
It was delightful.
I know. It made me like AJ Pierzynski, which kind of bothers me.
AJ's awesome.
He's successfully transitioned to being one of us.
I know he is. He's such an anti-hero, though.
It's still the greatest marketing campaign of all time. Punch AJ for the All-Star game.
Yes.
It's just genius. Like, because
right everybody wants to.
Yeah, it was right after it happened. It was perfect. But he's turned himself into a fantastic broadcaster, and we all know how we feel about Jason Benetti. And the thing is that what I like about AJ is that AJ is understated and quick, and it works well with Benetti because of the same thing. But seeing them act and react to seeing the clown was pretty awesome, and we wanted to share it with you in case you missed it.
You know, the one thing you're thinking if you do lose your fantasy football bet and you have to dress like that is, well, at least nobody else will see me except for everybody next to me in the crowd in the bleachers.
Can't hide when you dress like that, and if you suck that bad, you deserve it. I said, though, they're letting them drink beer. Should have made them be sober.
Yeah, I don't know which is worse. This is a city well known for famous clowns, right? Like Bozo Circus was enormous back in the, a couple decades ago in the 90s and 80s and before that. And he'd have sidekicks, Wizzo and Cookie, and this guy maybe is the lost Bozo Circus clown.
The fact that you know that much about Bozo. The only thing I remember about Bozo was the game where he had to throw the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, the grand prize game. As a kid who grew up in this city, AJ, there was a wait list to get into the crowd at Bozo's Circus.
Did you ever get to do the grand prize? I could see you being big in the grand prize game.
Yeah, my motor skills are my finest attribute. Check no, swing, he didn't go.
But I could see you leaning over and kind of cheating a little bit.
And they wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said anything.
They would have been like, oh, good job. Good job, Jason. Here's some Archway cookies. 2-2. On the ground, third base side. That's Morrell playing shortstop, essentially. And there's one away. But back to that guy, right? That is a bad day.
Yes. But it's also fun.
Yeah.
Because as bad as it stinks that you have to do that, he's getting TV time. And he's going to tell everybody, hey, I met all these new friends.
Oh, they're just finding out that this has gone a little further than their one section in their fantasy football draft. Is he happy about it is the question. His face is painted to suggest he's happy about it, but we don't know if he's actually happy. Remember Bryce Harper a couple years ago? Somebody asked him something. He said, that's a clown question, bro.
Yes.
I wonder if this guy said that. Like, are you going to finish last in the league?
What we really need is somebody to tweet at Jason Benetti or myself that guy's name.
Well, I don't know. I want to get involved in that. Distance is fine, thanks.
What's the worst fantasy football punishment you've seen?
I mean, so the one I'm thinking of is the Giants a couple years ago, play-by-play announcer Dave Fleming, because he lost. His fantasy league was the bat boy for the Giants for a couple innings while John Miller did the game on radio. You remember, did you see footage of that?
Some spring training, the Blue Jays did that to one of their pitchers this year, too. Same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the one where you have to go to a restaurant and sit there for 24 hours, depending on how much you eat.
Yeah, like only eat mozzarella sticks for 24 hours, right?
Well, there's one you go to IHOP and you get, or Waffle House, and every waffle you lose an hour.
Yeah.
So you have to try to eat as many waffles as you McDonald's, if you eat how many hamburgers you eat.
You're just trying to get an NIL deal, I feel like, at this point. 3-1 to Ketel Marte. Great day to dress up however you'd like here at Wrigley Field.
I agree. That's courtesy of Fox Sports. And it was Jason Benetti and A.J. Pruszynski on the call. I feel like, never mind.
What?
If you were thinking like, oh, well, you know, if you were thinking about putting together a booth and you were saying like, even like locally, that would be pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It'd be a really interesting idea. If someone only had access to those people and relationships, that would be a really sensible way that you could
do something.
Do something your fans would really enjoy and appreciate.
I also thought it was interesting, too, because of their proximity to Alan Thomas, all of the Alec Thomas stuff that they were able to share inside of the broadcast. And AJ
being in the weight room.
Yeah. AJ being like, who is this kid? And like, now that kid is, you know, patrolling center field and running down fly balls. I know that we asked Ian about this, and I'm going to ask him about it again. I mentioned it in the group chat. Maybe it's me, and maybe I'm looking for it. I am totally okay with people think that I might be looking for this. Wrigley Field feels like it's playing weird. There are balls that are
yesterday,
hit
specifically,
where I'm like, that one didn't make it to the track. Like, it didn't even make it to the track. And I don't know if it's just the ball or if it's how Wrigley, if the weather is, it just seems strange that there are balls that look pretty well struck that are dying.
Yeah, when they talked about it yesterday, for example, it was blowing in, and you guys know better than I do, because I haven't lived here all my life, but I feel like we're talking about the wind blowing in more than we typically have.
It does. Like, the fallacy about Wrigley is that the wind blows in more than it blows out. But usually this time of year,
not the case.
Yeah. Like, when you're talking about July baseball at Wrigley Field, like, that's when you can go yard.
And we know that the video boards, when we looked at the actual data just a couple of months ago, that the people who actually did the work and drew out all the vectors and overlaid everything said that it still essentially two different parks.
Okay.
It's a wind blowing in pitcher's park and a wind blowing out hitter's park, but the video boards have significantly mitigated the discrepancy between those two effects.
Hmm. And that's happened at other parks in baseball where an outside factor, say a video board or some other construction, did adjust the wind pattern specifically.
Not so to mention the ball.
Yeah. There's always that. But
I just, like, every time I'm watching games lately, I'm like, wow, that ball seemed like, so I'm like looking at exit velo and everything else, and I'm like, that's messed up because I felt like that was a ball that was going to make, if it was going to die, it would die on the track.
Yesterday, late July, should have been a good example, mid to late July, of a day where that's going out, but not the case yesterday.
I'm just pleased I got through that segment without allowing myself to be triggered about Bozo.
Yeah, we can get to your Bozo stuff at another time.
I hate Bozo. I've never liked Bozo. I never liked the show. My parents are like, oh, you want to get in the waiting list for tickets? I'm like, no, I don't want to go see that.
What's your beef with Bozo?
I don't know. Just never. He's not funny.
So you said you avoided it only to get into it?
No, I never.
I'm saying, right now,
you said you were avoiding talking about it.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But
glad
then
I
you
made
talked
it
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got through without getting too worked up about the. I mean, just the worst. Just not funny. Not interesting. Not clever. Not entertaining.
All right.
This is not enough. You getting worked up.
That's enough of you bashing Bozo.
We have
Bozo
to go to break.
Sucked. Bozo sucked.
I'm going to let Dan figure this out for
you're
a few minutes.
Bozo.
We asked a bunch of Bears questions last week. We worked some things out as a Bears people last week, but we're not done yet because, Lawrence, you asked a good question.
Yeah, I want to talk about camp coverage. So we'll do that next here on The Score.